Our burden in these messages, in this entire training, and even in this series of trainings, is the experience or experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ. But, saints, experiencing does depend on our knowing. The more we know this Christ in a richer way, item by item, that opens the way for us to have more experience. We might know the Lord as our Savior, as our Lord, then that's wonderful, but there is a certain amount of experience, a level of experience in this. Unless we go further, as we have been trying, endeavoring in these trainings, item by item, in every book, nearly, of the New Testament, to see more of this Christ, our experience will be limited. You may have heard this example before. A little child may see a box. Inside the box, there is a diamond ring. You would value this little box differently than that little child, because you know what's in the box. The little child may really like the box. He sees the ring, tosses it, and plays with the box. We need to see the ring in the Bible, the diamond ring. This point that we come to tonight, the mystery of God, Christ, is a big diamond. I hope that we have the heart even to know, what is this? What is this? Many of us in this room, we may have heard already. We've read this. We have some familiarity with the phrase. But if you really check, we may not have much to say. To some, this may be brand new tonight. Maybe you're more blessed because you're just open. Oh, saints, I hope we have the heart to see our Christ. He is the mystery of God. Let's come to Romans 1. Well, maybe I'll let you know this. This message has 7 Roman numerals. And the final 2, 6 and 7, are really the most important. And point 7 is really the central burden. So we're going to make our way through this outline, probably in a rather brisk way over the first few points. But point by point, I hope we'll be going higher, 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 and we'll end with a crescendo. And that is our experience of Christ as the mystery of God. Okay, Romans 1. In the Bible, a mystery refers not only to things that are hidden and unknown, but also to things that are hidden in God's heart. This is the principle concerning the mysteries mentioned in the Bible. So in the Bible, it doesn't just talk about things that are mysterious. There might be some mysterious things that people are curious over. That's not the focus. The principle in the Bible is, what is hidden in God's heart? That's the mystery that we want to know. We have some verses here in Romans 16, verses 25 and 6. That's the second reference you have there. Paul has this phrase, the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages. See, there was something in God's heart, but it was kept in silence. Even through the entire Old Testament. In Colossians 1:26, next reference. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. That's us. God does not want these things that are in his heart to remain a mystery to his saints. You know, in the Old Testament, or even from the time of creation, the angels were there. God didn't tell them what he was doing. They didn't know. You know, in Peter it says, the angels looked to see. They maybe saw all the things of creation. They wonder, what is God doing? He didn't tell them. Many prophets, even the patriarchs, even the patriarchs didn't see what's hidden in God. Because Paul tells us no one really saw it until he started to reveal it. But saints, he wants to make known this mystery to his saints. We should have a heart. We should have a heart to know these things. Romans 2, Colossians 2:2, and this is the source of this phrase, the mystery of God. Colossians 2:2 says, the mystery of God, Christ. The mystery of God is manifested in Christ. So Christ is the mystery of God. Okay, actually the whole message develops this point. 3. There are 5 great mysteries in the Bible. A, the mystery of the universe is God, who is the meaning and purpose of the universe. You know, here we have a verse that was referred to last night, Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and our God, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you have created all things, and because of your will, they were, that is, they exist, and were created. What this tells us is that everything was created out of something that was in the heart of God. All of creation. When you look at all of creation, God did that with a purpose, with a reason. But up to a certain point, he didn't tell anybody what the reason was. Then came a point that he wants to make that known to certain ones. His saints, and that includes you, that includes me. Don't you want to know? In Ephesians 3:9, it says to enlighten all. This was Paul's desire in his writing. To enlighten all that they may see the economy of the mystery, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. So it was there in his heart. That's the mystery that we want to know. Okay, Pete B says the mystery of man is also God. Even we are a mystery. I think many people, probably many of us, that's our testimony. That brought an openness to the gospel because we were wondering, I'm a mystery. I don't know why I'm here. I you know, it says in Psalm 139, we're awesomely made. We have these inward parts. But what are they for? We're so thoughtful. But we wonder, eventually, it's got to be for something. It's got to be for more than this. It's a mystery. But the answer to this mystery is God. God's the answer. The mystery of God is Christ. Again, this is the main focus of this message. The mystery of Christ is the church. Now, basically, what this means, if you want to know God, you must come to Christ. If you want to know Christ, you must come to the church. You must know the church and see the church. It's Ephesians 3:4. Talks of, Paul says, my understanding in the mystery of Christ. And then the following verses, he points out that that actually is the church. Okay, point E, the mystery of the church is the organism of Christ, the body of Christ, as the enlargement of Christ. The mystery of the church is the organism of Christ. You know, once upon a time, if you ask me, when I was a child, I was not raised in the church life. I was raised in Christianity with the Brethren Assembly. Even there was a shortage where I was. And if you asked me as a child, where's the church? What is the church? I would say, oh, that building there, that's a church. Many people still hold this kind of thought. The church is here. The church is fulfilled, right? But people don't know what is the church. More advanced, I learned one day, there, not here, there. The church is not this building. The church is the people. Even that. Is that really the church? What is the reality of the church? It's the body. It's the body. When you see the body, you realize what really is the church. Because he... the mystery of God, he, Christ, he is the head of this body. And the church, the mystery of Christ is the church. The church is the body of this head. That's the great mystery. Okay, Romans 4. In Ephesians, mystery is a crucial word. And here we have, in these 5 points, several of the key verses that Paul uses in Ephesians regarding this matter of the mystery. In eternity, God planned the will, but it was hidden in him. It was a mystery. B, God's hidden purpose is the mystery, and the unveiling of this mystery in the mingled spirit is the revelation of the mystery. You know, Paul, when he talks about this matter of revelation, he talks about the matter of the Spirit. It was revealed in spirit. It was revealed in spirit. Saints, even right now, I'd like to point out these two verses. Firstly, 2 Corinthians 3:16. Most of us are familiar. Whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Right now, we can have a simple prayer. Lord, right now in this meeting, I turn my heart. Remove the veil. I want to see you as the mystery of God. Just say, I don't see, Lord. I don't see what this is. I don't realize. I don't understand. But Lord, I do turn my heart. And then Ephesians 1:17 and 18 talk about a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So saints, right now, in 18, the eyes of our heart having been enlightened. So we can say, Lord, I want to exercise my spirit. I want my spirit tonight to be a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I like to see something. in my spirit with the eyes of my heart. Enlighten the eyes of my heart to see the mystery. You could pray that right now. Amen. Point C says, God's mystery is his hidden purpose. And with this mystery, there is an economy. The economy of the mystery. D says, Christ is a mystery. And the church, as the body of Christ, to express him is the mystery of Christ. And then the conclusion, E, Christ and the church as one spirit are the great mystery. Of course, tonight we're focusing on the mystery of God, Christ. But when you put these two things together, the mystery of God, Christ, and the mystery of Christ, the church, if Paul says in Ephesians, this is the great mystery. This is the great mystery. And saints, with this, there's the need for revelation. And you might say that the revelation began, the revealing of these mysteries began in Matthew 16. You know, in Matthew 16, verses 16 and 18, in Matthew 16, this is the place where the Lord takes the disciples away from Jerusalem. And he asked them a question. Who do men say that I am? And they said some things, right? John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, praise the Lord. In other places, he says some nonsensical things. But here, let us give him credit. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what does the Lord say? Oh, you are blessed, Simon Bar-Jona. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father. The Father revealed Christ. The Father revealed that this one is the mystery of God. That when you see him, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. You know, and there's a place in the Gospels where because he said he's the Son of God, they got so upset because he made himself equal with God as the Son of God. We shouldn't think the Father got married, had a child, that's the Son. That's not the biblical view. The Son, this Son, is the expression of the Father. Even in Isaiah 9:6, the child is born, a son is given, but that child is the mighty God. That son is the eternal Father. Well, you know, with these, let me finish my thought with the revealing of the Father. The Father revealed the Son as the mystery of God. And then the Lord, Peter answered, he said, you're blessed. And he says, I say also to you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. So here, the Son is revealing, actually, the mystery of Christ. So in Matthew 16, the Father revealed the Son as the mystery of God. And then the Son revealed the church as the mystery of Christ. You know, with these two mysteries, you could say there's somewhat three steps. Three steps. There is the prophecy. Then there's the fulfillment. And then there's the revelation. With the Son, the prophecy is there. Hundreds of years before, in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall be with child. And she will call his name Emmanuel. Where was that fulfilled? That was fulfilled at Bethlehem. That was fulfilled at Bethlehem. But The Lord was there as the mystery of God. People didn't understand. People saw him, but they thought, isn't this a carpenter's son? They didn't see. He was the fulfillment, but they didn't have the revelation. They despised him. Aren't his brothers and sisters here? And then when the Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Even then, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're the... So that's not despising. We think you're a great man, even one of the prophets, but they didn't see. This is God. This is the mystery of God. But then what happened? The Father revealed the Son. Matthew 16. You know, with the church, somewhat the same. Now, Matthew 16, 18, the Lord said, I will build my church. But where was it? That was a prophetic word. Where was that fulfilled? Well, that was fulfilled on Pentecost. But I tell you, on Pentecost, at Pentecost, people didn't understand. They said, these people, they're drunk and early in the morning. What is this? Then in chapter 4 in Acts, Peter and John are there. And they're arrested and they're being tried. And they said, these are Galilean fishermen. They're unlearned. Right? They're laymen. Where did they get these things from? They couldn't see. They couldn't see until Paul. Then Paul says, I want to make known to you by revelation my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. You know, it's somewhat like this. Tyler, you can help me. Okay. Suppose, come quick, little example. I say, don't look over there. I would like to give you a Bible. That's all. What's that? That's a prophecy. Maybe one day, I tell like this. I go and I get a Bible. I said, I have a Bible for you. But he doesn't see it. Now it's here, but he doesn't see it. That's the fulfillment. Then one day, that's the revelation. Do you see? That happened with the mystery of God. People didn't see, but the Father revealed. With the church, it was there, fulfilled. People, even till today, don't see. They don't know what the church is. Today, so many people still think it's that building. We need what? Revelation. We need a revelation. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes. Open our eyes to see the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. Okay, number 5, yes? Romans 5. The all-inclusive Christ is the mystery of God. Okay, now we're starting to really touch the point. A, God himself is a mystery, and Christ is the mystery of this mystery. B, the mystery of God indicates something incomprehensible and inexplicable. C, as the mystery of God, the all-inclusive, extensive Christ is the definition, explanation, and expression, the Word of God. You know, here I'd like to, before we go on, mention this verse. It's not listed here. But it's John 1:18. We have here John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. 14. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In verse 18, it says this: No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared him. Here we begin to see, what is this mystery? What is this referring to? Christ is the Word of God. As the Word, He explains God. He demonstrates God. He expresses God. He defines God. We know God is love. But how is God love? Look at the Lord Jesus. One day, I think it's Luke 7, he was walking and he sees a procession, funeral procession. A widow lost her only son. And unsolicited, he's moved with compassion and he goes there and he stops the bier. He raises the son and gives him back to his mother. What is that? That is, God is love. There's a woman, you know this, in John 8. She's caught in adultery. You know, God is light too, right? God is light. What is that? What is that? What does that look like? Look at Christ. He was there. They brought that woman to him. And with just a few words, he shined as the light. And even as righteousness. He said, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And people were pricked in their conscience. And it says, one by one, starting from the oldest, right? From the oldest. It's like the light of the world was there shining. What is God is light? Look at Christ. Look at him. God is holy, right? Holy. Nothing mixed with the world. He's distinct. One day he walks into the temple and he does something drastic. And John says, this was the fulfillment. They remembered the zeal of God's house devours me. That was God's holiness in action in the person of Christ. Do you want to know God? You must know Christ. Amen. He expresses Christ. He shows us Christ. Point one, although God is infinite and eternal, without beginning or ending, he also has a history, a story. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92, here it says Psalm 92, he's from eternity to eternity. You are God. But one day, that eternal one stepped into time. In Micah, it says his goings forth are from ancient times, from the days of eternity. He stepped into time. And when he stepped into time, you could say that's when the story began. That we could start to see who is this God from his incarnation all the way through his enthronement, step by step. Through every step, we see the story of God. Point two, the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, the mystery of God, the mysterious story of God is the history of God. God's history refers to the process through which he passed in Christ so that he may enter into us and we may be brought into him. This process includes incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, glorification, and enthronement. Actually, saints, through each of these steps, we know God more. This was the process that brought him not just closer to us, but eventually into us and us into him, that we could know who is God. Every part of this process, of this history, is important for our knowing who is this God? D says, in this all-inclusive, extensive Christ, as the mystery of God, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. You know, the Colossians, they were in a certain situation. As was mentioned earlier, they were distracted by many things. Gnosticism, Judaism, asceticism, the heathen philosophies, the religious ordinances and observances. And they valued knowledge. They valued the worldly wisdom. Paul was trying to tell them, why would you value those things when you are rooted in the soil? When part of the soil is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This Christ is all the knowledge you need. This Christ is the wisdom you need. It's almost as if these Colossian believers had been transplanted out of Christ and were now rooted in something else, at least in their experience. Saints, we have to consider, what are we drawing from sometimes? What source are we drawing, even our valuation of living, of spending our time? One, wisdom is related to our spirit. Knowledge is related to our mind. God is the unique source of wisdom and knowledge. This is the spiritual wisdom and knowledge of the divine economy concerning Christ and the church. Wisdom and knowledge also refer to all the stories of God. All the wisdom and knowledge pertaining to God's stories are hidden in Christ, who is the mystery of God. Okay, now that was rather swift. We now come to Romans 6. As I mentioned, Romans 6, this point somewhat opens the burden. And in Romans 7 is the central part of the burden. But before I touch that, I'd like to mention, maybe I'll read the Roman numeral. As the mystery of God, Christ is the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. And the verse here is Colossians 2:9. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Saints, this is a key verse in this message, and actually is a key verse for our experience. I know when we read a verse like this, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Somewhat, we take it, it's objective to us. But I'd like to tell you, this is the beginning of our experience. Beginning of our experience. Now, in this message, there are, I would say, three key verses. Colossians 2:2, that's touched in Romans 5. Colossians 2:9, that's touched here in Romans 6. And Colossians 2:10, which is based on verse 9 in Romans 7. But I'd still like to say a little something about Colossians 2:2. Because in this verse, and I'd like to read this again to us, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ. So, we take the title from the last part of the verse, the mystery of God, Christ. However, Paul wrote this in a certain way for a certain reason. Why, in introducing this matter so high of the mystery of God, so deep, so profound, in this same verse, in this sentence, he writes this, that their hearts may be comforted. They being knit together in love, and unto, please pay attention to this word, unto. That is, resulting in what? Resulting in all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Comma. Unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ. So, these two phrases, all riches of the full assurance of understanding and the full knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ, are in opposition to one another. Right? That means they mean the same thing. So having all riches of the full assurance of understanding is related to our seeing the mystery of God Christ. But to know the mystery of God, saints, we need the experience of everything in Colossians 2:2. That is, we need firstly the comforting of our hearts. Why does Paul put this here? That their hearts would be comforted, they being knit together in love. This shows, saints, that to see this mystery, our heart is involved. That actually, our whole inner being has to be engaged. Our whole inner being with all its inward parts must function properly for us to see the mystery of God. If not, we'll be left with this. Oh, that's too high. It's too objective. The Colossians were in a certain state that they needed their hearts adjusted. Saints, we need a sober mind. We need a regulated emotion. And we need a subdued will if we're going to see the mystery of God. We need a sober mind. We need an unoccupied mind, not cluttered with many things. The Colossians, actually, they had many things, many standards that they allowed to come into the church life. They were even judging one another according to these things. And the result was that they were being defrauded of their prize. And they were being carried away as spoil from Christ as their good land. Because their mind was full of other things. Saints, we need to consider, even when we're just with the Lord personally, how many things are in our mind? Can we be emptied for just 10 minutes? Can we be calm? Can we be available to the Lord for just 10 minutes? It's not that easy sometimes. So many things come our way. Oh, that we'd have the grace to be emptied and to be open and to be focused. Lord Jesus, here I am. I don't want my thoughts, as it says in 2 Corinthians 11:2-3, corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. Lord, just keep me for these 10 minutes. And as our brother mentioned, better 30 minutes. Actually, my experience in all these years learning this matter of the personal fellowship is if I want to get 10 quality minutes, I've got to spend 30 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? We need to take time. But saints, even those of us serving the Lord, involved in the church life with many things, even sometimes in our times with the Lord, it's these things that are cluttering our mind. Can we put them down for 10 minutes, for 30 minutes? Can we just be there with the Lord? I also found this through the years. Sometimes saints listen to a message, even like this, but they listen with the glasses of their work, of their labor, of their burden. So they receive the points that match their work, their burden, and don't receive the real burden of the Lord. Saints, we may not realize our hearts have to be comforted. Our hearts have to be adjusted. Our emotions need to be regulated. Our will needs to be subdued. Our entire inner being needs to be engaged in a proper way so that we can see this great mystery. But, you know, I like to say something about this phrase, all riches of the full assurance of understanding. All riches of the full assurance of understanding. Some of us have faith, but not full assurance. Faith, but not certainty. Even in the basic Christian faith, we must have the certainty. We must have the full assurance so that we're not shaken easily. Even concerning the church, some may attack. We get shaken. Why? Because you don't have the full assurance. You may not have all riches of the full assurance. You may not be able to explain everything, but at least in your heart, you should have the assurance. I am taking the way of the Lord in His Word. You should have at least an assurance of that. If not, you should pray. Lord, why don't I have this assurance? And in the Lord's recovery, in the way of the Lord's recovery, we have to have full assurance of faith. Many of us have passed through this. Times of shaking, wondering, what am I doing here actually? Through some turmoils, through some storms. We had to go to the Lord to find out, Lord, why am I here? What is this? Is this your word? Is this your move? And through some transactions with the Lord, we came to the conclusion, I know what I'm doing here. Saints, concerning the faith, concerning the church, concerning the Lord's recovery, we need the full assurance of understanding. Then we can have the full knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ. Saints, when you have this certainty, actually, you have the assurance that's the same of a martyr who's willing to lay down their life for the Lord. We need that kind of full assurance. But for that, we need our inward parts engaged and exercised in the proper way. I love this verse, Psalm 51:6. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you would make known wisdom to me. We need our inward parts engaged and properly functioning to see the mystery of God, Christ. Point six, as the mystery of God, Christ is the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. A says, all the fullness of the Godhead refers to the entire Godhead, the complete God. The word Godhead refers to deity and strongly indicates the deity of Christ. Since the Godhead comprises the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead must be the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it's our Lord Jesus, when He was there, walking as a man, people did not know. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. Continue the reading. It's wonderful, this bodily form. This word, the embodiment. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is a wonderful thing. And this is on the road to our experience. Okay, we're still getting there. Three, for Christ to be the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead means that the fullness of the triune God dwells in Christ in a bodily form. This implies the physical body that Christ put out in His humanity, and it indicates that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ as the one who has a human body. B, before the incarnation, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ as the eternal Word. We saw that in John 1:1. But it did not dwell in Him bodily. After He became incarnate, clothed with a human body. The fullness of the Godhead began to dwell in him in a bodily way. And in his glorified body, now and forever, it dwells.
Amen.
The triune God, the fullness of the triune God, dwelt in the man Jesus bodily. Saints, the triune God, he became a man. He lived as a man. He died as a man. He resurrected as a man. He ascended as a man. And he was enthroned as a man. But you know, I thought it's interesting. Well, this was mentioned yesterday. Acts 7:44, Stephen's being martyred. He looks, what does he see? Jesus standing. He saw Jesus, the man, standing there. And then in Matthew, the Lord tells, when he was being judged, he says, you will see the Son of Man coming. He will come as a man. And that man embodies the fullness of God. You know, the day that he was resurrected, that evening, you know the story. He appeared to certain ones through the day and then came. And that evening, he appeared in the upper room. And when they appeared, they were rejoicing and doubting. They didn't know. They didn't know. He wanted to, right, receive the Holy Spirit. And then that's in John. In Luke, it says he opened to them the scriptures, right? But before that, you know what he said? Touch me. Touch me. Then he says, do you have anything to eat here? Why? He was making a point. The fullness dwelt in him bodily.
Amen.
He didn't give up his body, his human body.
Wow.
Of course, that is a glorified body. Praise the Lord. The fullness dwells in him. But then, the real good news is, in verse 10 in Colossians 2, that now we are made full in him. All the fullness is in him. Then we got put into him. So we can enjoy the fullness. And what is the fullness? That is the overflow of God from Christ. Okay, let's keep reading. We're up to C, yes? B. Fullness in Colossians 2:9 refers not to the riches of God, but to the expression of the riches of God. The riches are the quantity of an object, whereas the fullness is the flowing out, the overflow of the object to become the expression of the object. What dwells in Christ is not only the riches of the Godhead, but also the expression of the riches of what God is. We often hear this kind of illustration. We have a vessel here, and this vessel has content, has riches, but no fullness, because you can't see what it is. But what's the fullness? The fullness is when you keep pouring, you keep pouring, you keep pouring, and there's an overflow. That's Christ. That's Christ. And when he was walking on the earth, he was walking overflowing. And people saw God. You know, it says in John, of his fullness we all received. There was a woman. She was hemorrhaged. She said, if only I could touch. I don't know. She got that faith. She didn't have to interact with him. She just had to go touch. Oh, she got something. Why? Because he's the fullness. He overflows God in every direction. When I was laboring in this, I thought, oh, I'd like to go back and read the Gospels with this view. Of his fullness we all received. Did you know that you already have enjoyed of his fullness? You thought you were just enjoying grace. Actually, you were enjoying the fullness of grace, according to John 1:16. That's what it says. We're getting to that point here. Let's go to 3. A. Okay. 2a. God's fullness is the overflow of the riches, and this overflow is God's expression. And the fullness of the Godhead is the expression of the Godhead, the expression of what God is. 3. The Godhead is expressed both in the old creation, the universe, and the new creation, the church. When the Son of God was incarnated as a man, with him was the fullness of God, and of his fullness we have all received. 1. In John 1:16, grace does not refer to the riches of grace, but to the fullness of grace. And the riches of grace are in God, but the fullness of grace is in Christ Jesus. The grace we receive as the fullness of grace, beginning from the time we were saved, we may receive grace upon grace. The phrase grace upon grace in John 1:16 can be compared to the rolling waves of the sea that come in wave upon wave without ceasing. Saints, do you realize that we have been put into this Christ? This is already our portion. And this is how we know God. And this is how he, as the mystery of God, makes God known to us. From the fullness. It has to do with the fullness. Christ, from his overflowing God to us. Okay, now point 7. As believers in Christ, we are made full in Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. The Greek word translated full, we've touched this before, in verse 10 implies completion, perfection. Because all the fullness dwells in Christ, and because we have been put into him, we have been made full, filled with the divine riches. Saints, we were put into him. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of God, you are in Christ Jesus. One says, all those who believe into Christ have been put into Christ. Therefore, we are identified with him and are one with him. Here we have Galatians 3:27, which mentions baptism. Saints, this experience began at our baptism. At our baptism, we were put into Christ. But who is this Christ? He's the one in whom all the fullness was pleased to dwell. That is our portion. 2. We, the believers, have been put into the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, identified with him, and joined to him as our husband. Hence, we are one with him. Saints, are we joined to him? The Colossians, they had so many replacements for Christ. They really needed to be converted back to Christ. From philosophies of living, it's very possible, saints, unknowingly we have philosophies of living, standards by which we have accumulated from our upbringing, from our culture, and unknowingly, those, rather than depending on the Lord, for even things concerning raising our children, concerning purchasing our homes, we evaluate many things, school districts, all the kinds of things. I'm not saying don't do that, but where is Christ? Even in those matters, are we enjoying our portion of the fullness. Even in that, as we're making decisions, we should remember, I have been made full in Christ.
Amen.
So I have accessible to me the mind of Christ. Wisdom. I have wisdom as my portion. But why do I still try to figure things out on my own? That's what the Colossians were doing. They were seeking, they considered other types of wisdom. In experience, they were transplanted out of Christ and rooted in earthly wisdom. And we may not realize, saints, we have been deluded. We have been defrauded of our prize. We have been carried off as spoil. We need to come back. Point three. Now, these next points, 3, 4, 5, please. As we read, I hope we're even have a prayerful attitude. I'll read to you. Because we are one with Christ, we partake of all that He has accomplished, obtained, and attained. We inherit all that Christ has experienced and passed through, receiving all that He is and has. Do you believe this? 4, all that He has passed through is now our history.
Amen.
And all that He has obtained and attained is our inheritance.
Amen.
Saints, we have been made full in Him.
Amen.
So now, everything He's passed through, human living, the proper human living. We just have a little window of His life of submission as a 12-year-old. You know, we had the message reviewed now about submission. As a 12-year-old, He submitted not only to the Father, He submitted to His human parents. That life is now our history. We can share this with our junior hires. They can experience the fullness in this. All His human living, the effectiveness of His crucifixion, all that that accomplished, dealing with sin, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the old man, dealing with Satan, dealing with the world, the prince of the world, all that is actually part of our inheritance. But saints, either we don't see or we don't apply. Five, the result is that all that He is and all that He has belong to us.
Amen.
And all that He has experienced has become our history. And I do hope these points, 3, 4, and 5, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, not just during the study session, but personally, we would have some prayerful consideration over these 3 points. Lord, open my eyes that I might see what it is, Lord, to be made full in You. All the fullness dwelt in You bodily. All of the triune God is in You. And I have been put into You. I'm made full in You. Lord, why would I go to another source? Lord, I really want to take some time to behold You as the mystery of God. Saints, this is the experience of the mystery of God. It's not something so far from us. How does He express God to us? Well, out of the fullness of His fullness, we all receive, and we all continue to receive day by day. Point C says, we need to have a full realization of what we have in Christ and to exercise faith to partake of all that is ours in Christ. I come back to this point of having the full assurance of understanding. Saints, we need knowledge, understanding, faith, and certainty in all these matters. We do need the Lord, as it says in Luke 24, to open our mind to understand the scriptures and then open the eyes of our heart to see the revelation so that we can have a full realization. Lord, I want to know. I want to know you as the mystery of God, as the embodiment, the one in whom the fullness of God dwells bodily. What is that to me? And then, Lord, I'd like to see, I am made full in you. Lord, I don't just want to taste it. I want to live it. Point D, because this fullness is all-inclusive, it accomplishes everything for us. It fully satisfies and supplies us, and it makes us full, perfect, and complete. We have the all-inclusive, inexhaustible fullness that dwells in Christ bodily, and in Him we are made full. Actually, this point E not only summarizes the message or brings us to the key experience of the message, it is points 6, Romans 6 and Romans 7, putting these two points together to show us how do we have the experience of Christ as the mystery of God. How about we read point E together? We have the all-inclusive, inexhaustible fullness that dwells in Christ bodily, and in Him we are made full. Amen. How about we declare, I am made full in Christ. Amen. How about we have some prayer with some around us, then the brothers will direct us. Amen.